Rick, you're not going to sit up there?
Okay, thank you. All right, I'll call the meeting to order.
Are you not going to sit up there? I'll take the time away. Yeah, I put one up there for you.
All right, Danielle, your roll call, please.
Good evening. President Enns?
Here.
Vice President Chivins?
Microphone.
Director Foster?
Here.
Director Lyon? Director Lloyd?
Here.
Mayor Irons?
Here.
Vice Mayor Johnson?
Here.
Councilmember League?
He's getting his glasses.
Councilmember Johnson? Councilmember Smuckler? Thank you.
Thank you, Danielle. Are there any announcements from Morro Bay, Mayor Irons?
Any announcements from our board? Seeing none? No, thank you.
Thank you. Any announcements, Cayucas? Seeing none, we'll go to public comment. Anyone wishing to speak in public comment on items not on the agenda may do so at this time. Seeing none, I'll close public comment. We'll go to item A, consent calendar. Would anyone like to have an item pulled for separate discussion?
I would. I'll ask. I was interested in pulling item A3. Anybody else from Morro Bay have an item on consent? Okay.
Anyone from Cayucas wishing to pull an item? Seeing none, we'll take the balance of the consent calendar, be item A1 and A2. Cayucas, the motion would be in order for approval of items A1 and A2.
So moved.
Motion by Shirley, second by Mike. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Mayor Irons?
The same motion for items A1 and A2 for approval.
So moved.
Motion by Christine Johnson, second by Noah. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Motion carries. Item A3. I pulled this. I just wanted a little overview. I talked with Mr. Livick about this and just was requesting just a brief overview and maybe some discussion on page 2 of the staff report, in particular the third paragraph. And I was going to turn it over to Mr. Livick and or Mr. Keough. I know he's getting his electronic devices pulled up, so... I'll just go ahead, Bruce.
Well, I was going to say the staff report is an overview of the permitting process for the NPDES permit for the wastewater treatment plant. The current NPDES permit did expire this year and has been administratively extended by the Regional Water Board until the permit issue has been renewed and completed. There hasn't been a whole lot of action in terms of seeing a draft permit come to us at this time. I spoke to Regional Board staff at the end of May, and they were still waiting for their US EPA subcontractor to deliver a draft permit to Regional Board. So everything's kind of just in the waiting mode. I think that the paragraph that Mayor Irons is referring to discusses the granting of a full secondary permit with interim effluent limit allows for the Morro Bay Cayucas Wastewater Treatment Plant to be protected from fines for not meeting full secondary effluent limits. So the permit is written such that even though it will be a full secondary permit, it will have interim limits probably for suspended solids and BOD, the two constituents right now that are granted in the waiver that we're currently operating under. The real question comes due when the new permit is with interim effluent limits is issued. It's good for 5 years. At the end of that 5-year period, the second permit, the regional board has, I believe, the discretion to issue another permit with, I think, either a cease and desist order or a time schedule that allows you to continue to not be penalized if you're not meeting full secondary treatment requirements. I think at this point in our conversations with regional board staff that they are willing and prepared to work with the city and the district as we move forward, and they really want to see action in this next five-year period. And if we're really diligently pursuing the siting and the permitting and the construction of the new wastewater treatment plant, I think the board would be more than willing to work with the city and the district on that second five-year period. If we're stuck in limbo land somewhere, they may not be as forgiving on that part, but I have a lot of confidence that we're going to make a lot of ground in the next 5 years.
I just want to add that with the council's action earlier in the year, setting up the time schedule for that five-year time schedule to have the plant operational, we shouldn't run into any known issues at this point in time that would prevent us from being, you know, well under construction and perhaps even in operation by the time of that that permit period.
All right. Well, thanks for indulging us in that verbal report. I know it was on consent, but many times, you know, for our viewing audience, not having the staff report in front of them or actually pulling that item off the our website, I just thought it would be nice to discuss that at this meeting. So thanks for taking the time to do that for us and for the viewing audience. So I would make a motion to approve item A3. We have a motion by Irons and a second by Smuckler. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Motion carries.
Cayucas, same motion, please.
Same motion.
Motion by Shirley.
Second.
Motion by Dan Lloyd. Second by Dan Lloyd. Any discussion on this item? All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries. Next item, old business, status report on the major maintenance and repair program. Bruce, would you like to lead that?
Sure. This staff report deals with the major maintenance and repair program that's currently underway at the treatment plant. In February of 2013, the council and the district board approved the development of the MMRP, and that program is really its major maintenance and repair program, and it's really designed to tackle some of the bigger maintenance issues that the treatment plant needs in order to operate efficiently for another 5 years while the new facility is that process is underway. The staff report covers the projects that there were five projects that were funded in this last fiscal year, and this staff report kind of recaps the projects that were funded and what happened with those projects. Three of the projects, the cleaning and coating of digester number 2, the interstage pump and valve project, and the reconditioning of the chlorine building have been successfully completed. There's a little caveat on the digester number 2 project. We're having a little issue with the gas dome on the top of the digester at this point, and we're looking at solutions to patch a crack on that and keep gas from coming out. But we're hoping to have that process completed next week and the digester back online the following week. The Headworks Influence Screening Project is on schedule at this point. We have procured the screens. We've actually made an order for headwork screening and washing and compacting equipment. That equipment is a very long lead time, so it is scheduled to arrive at the treatment plant in mid-September at this point. While they are building the equipment, and we kind of did a government procurement so that the city and the district bought the screens, and then we're going to put out an RFP for installing the screens and that equipment. The RFP is currently under development, and we should see a final copy or draft set of specs and plans tomorrow with the hope that we would advertise those next week. So that process is ongoing at this time. The chlorine contact basin improvements was another one of the projects that was funded for this last fiscal year. We did not get to that. We did a lot of evaluation and assessment on that tank. We had originally estimated a project cost of about $200,000. Based on a pretty recent assessment and evaluation that we did when we drained the chlorine contact tank, we have started to reduce that scope of work necessary to keep that tank in operation. And so when we get to the budget hearing in a few minutes, I'm going to request that we take some of the money that we had requested to roll over on the chlorine contact tank improvement project and shift that money to the headwork screening project so that we can stay on budget. The staff report also covers some of the projects that are recommended for the next fiscal year. And the three major projects there are the cleaning and coating of digester number one. So it would be similar to the project that we just completed on digester number two. We'd clean the tank, sandblast and coat, do whatever repairs we need to. And we would also include, in the budget, we've included some flood walls around the two biofilters to protect them from inundation in the event that we have a 100-year event. So that kind of covers the report. I would open it up for questions.
All right. Does anyone have questions of Bruce?
Anyone from the Morro Bay Board? To the right, Nancy, George, Noah, Christine? Noah?
Yeah, Bruce, I just had a quick question about the flood walls, because I know we've done a little bit of work on that already in some areas, and just your thoughts about really the necessity for those flood walls around the biofilters when we've gone so long without it. Are you anticipating something there that you think is worth the trying to minimize the risk for over the next 5 years?
I don't have a crystal ball, but we have gone, you know, we've never experienced flooding into those structures. We have come very close to having water inundate the large biofilter because of the elevation of where it is and where its drains are. In the event that we had a flooding event that topped the current wall or entered that system, you would shut down your secondary treatment process. And I think that the kind of the risk-benefit analysis, while I don't really want to spend the money, I know everybody is very aware of spending money at the current plant, I think that it is a job that needs to be done so that you protect the efficiency of the wastewater treatment plant. Oceano is a good example of what happens when, you know, they did not protect some of the stuff down in Oceano at the wastewater treatment plant and their headworks. It was raised in budget issues in prior years, and when they were flooded, the regional board responded with very stiff fines.
I just want to add also that it is a permit requirement that the process is protected from flooding against 100-year. While it has never flooded and it has never been protected, we're recommending not to take that risk based on the level of fines that we've seen levied against other municipalities in this area. It's an estimated amount. We'll try to bring it in under that amount. If we have any innovative ways to construct flood walls in a different way, we'll take that approach rather than, you know, concrete walls. Not recommending that we use marine grade plywood and sandbags at this point, but we'll put our heads together and value engineering that as much as we can as we get closer to that project.
I would just also add that we've all seen some real extremes in weather conditions over the last several years, and I think that that's what has led all of us collectively to feel like now is the time to go ahead and take this extra step. We've had severe drought. Most likely we're going to see rain sometime, and when we do, we're just awfully concerned that it's going to be in large amounts.
Thanks for that explanation. I think it makes sense to me.
Thanks for bringing that up, Noah. I had a conversation as well, and kind of the risk analysis on that, and an explanation on being diligent and thoughtful about the cost. I know everybody's kind of aware of that, so thanks, guys, for the explanation.
Cayucas. Right. Questions from Cayucas?
Yes, I have a question for Bruce. Bruce, I was noticing here in the ongoing work for the repairs, you've got some dewatering pumps that you said are basically active. Are those, are we dealing with groundwater from subflow from the creek? Are we dealing with tidal influences from the ocean? And are they running 24/7?
I'm not a hydrogeologist either, but I'll take a crack at it. I think it is, the treatment plant sits on very shallow groundwater. It always has. So we run those pumps 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're probably pumping, we have three wells kind of in a triangular pattern around the digester because it doesn't have, it's the floor of the digester is approximately 15 feet below grade. So it there's an extreme pressure on the floor of that digester if we don't dewater. But we're only pulling probably between 10 and 25 gallons a minute out of those wells. They're not really high-producing wells, but they're enough to form a cone of depression to protect the digester while the work is being done.
Good. Thank you for the answer.
Okay, any other comments or questions?
We don't quite have enough biological capacity within the treatment plant. It will all help, but it will not guarantee that you could achieve full secondary treatment in the second 5 years.
Is that something that we should look at?
I think we should look at what the new permit says when it comes out in terms of limits. I'm not expecting a big change from the limits we have now. Not to say I haven't been surprised before, but I think you should look at what the new permit is going to say before we really start to really drill down on that subject. And right now you're looking at, my guess is with public noticing, you know, there's a public procedural process for issuing an NPDES permit that includes issuing a draft permit, receiving public comment, issuing a final draft permit, and then taking it to the board. I would anticipate that it is at least 6 to 8 months from the time regional board gets the permit in their hands, but I would say probably closer to 9 months before that permit would be issued in front of the board. So we'll have some time to ponder that question. It's a really good question because we may need to figure out ways to achieve higher efficiency as we move forward.
Okay, thank you, Bruce. Any other comments? If not, this, I believe, is just a receive and file. Would anyone like to make a public comment on this subject? Barry?
Yes, good evening. Barry Brandon, Morro Bay. The question I have, is there any opportunity to work with your users, your customers, to reduce the peaking? Because I know you have some real peaks, like on Sunday or Monday, and you can see the scum line off of the rock Monday morning. So I know that the laundries are running pretty hard. Is there any way that you can do some peak, some kind of a provision with them? Maybe ask the user that, gee, you don't have to do all the laundry on Monday. Can you do a little on Tuesday? Or maybe that's not the right user. But is there anything that you can be proactive with?
You know, we've looked into actually building an equalization basin in 2004, and that would improve the treatment efficiency of the plant. In terms of actually reaching out to the public, I don't know that. I'd have to think about that one. I don't know if there's a whole lot we can ask the public to do, because if you really look at our flows tend to be very low in the middle of the night. They tend to pick up when people get up, take a shower, go to the bathroom. They tend to peak about 11 in the morning. They tend to drop a little bit, re-peak when people come home for dinner and showers, and then kind of taper off through the night. Our peak flows on the weekends are really tourist-driven. I mean, actually, I think you could probably use the wastewater treatment plant as an indicator of economic vitality, depending on how much water we get on the in the treatment plant on any given day. I will say that when I hear the word scum line off the rock, you can't see. I'm fairly confident, based on our monitoring program, that you are not seeing the discharge from the treatment plant.
This looks like soap suds is all.
Very good. Any other public comment? Seeing none, I'll close public comment. No action is required on this item, so we will continue to new business. A verbal report from the city and the district on the progress of the future wastewater treatment plant. Mr. Kuhn, would you like to lead off with the Cayucas progress?
Good evening. We had a meeting back in April with the regional board, City of Morro Bay, and County of San Luis Obispo. Since that meeting, the district has started working with a right-of-way engineer to look at right-of-way, several different right-of-ways out to the CMC. We haven't received anything back from them yet. And we've also been working with the county of San Luis Obispo to come up with a project scope in examining the capabilities of the CMC. Tim, you have more on that?
District and city staff have been working with regional board staff and the County San Luis Obispo staff in developing a comprehensive evaluation of the capacity of the CMC plant. It's still in the formative stages, the scope of that work. It's hoped that that's going to be funded with administrative civil liability penalties that the regional board imposed on the CMC plant, because it should have some very valuable information for the regional board as well. And I think it's going to provide some essential information that'll really give us an idea of what
time. With departure of their public works director, I think in the next few weeks, so we'll be working with new staff members on that. The city has entered into a contract with a company called Kestrel Consulting that is a specialty in shaking that money tree. So they've had a lot of success with a variety of sources looking at money, so they'll be bringing reports that will be presented to council probably midsummer, sometime before the August time frame, about potentials for funding, not just through the EPA, but all the funding sources that we can, you know, kind of cobble together to look at funding a facility wherever it is. And then we're also working with a company called Larry Walker and Associates to look at potential permitting requirements that we would be facing with creek discharge, so increases in permitting requirements. And that report will also come back to council sometime midsummer. Yes, thank you, Bruce. We have a hydrogeologist that has prepared, finished a draft technical memorandum regarding the discharge of reclaimed water to Choro Creek. That study is being peer-reviewed at the time, and it will also be coming to council and this board later on this summer. So those are the three major work efforts that we're working on.
Great, thank you. Any questions for Mr. Livick from Morro Bay?
Yeah, I just had a couple other items. One that we had talked about was beginning some preliminary discussions with Rancho Colina and Mr. McIlvain on a draft MOU. Is that something that is also in the works?
Yes, that's what I get for not bringing my notes with me. Council is at their meeting where they adopted the Rickenbach report, directed staff to start some preliminary negotiations with the property owner at Rancho Colina to develop a framework for discussion should we move to that site there. So basically a memorandum of understanding where each side would be coming from, and we've started our talks with Mr. McIlvain, and he's pretty excited. So we'll be moving on towards that this summer too.
Okay, and just my last question is, we had talked at the council meeting about the goal of bringing most of this information back and trying to really get more definitive on the project location around September. And my thought would be it'd be a good time to just check in with everyone and make sure that we're not going to be held up with the local project because of delays with the analysis of the CMC. So I'd like to hear some discussion perhaps on how that's looking at this point.
You know, it's going to be really tight to bring something back end of August, first part of September, based on how the regional board can distribute those administrative fines. I think there was some thought that they could be distributed administratively, but I my impression is it's going to have to go back to the board to allow them to use that money. So we're working with that staff, trying to refine that scope so it gets us what we need, but really not much more than what we need to make that decision. We don't need to really go to the facilities master planning level at this point in time yet. So refining that scope and work to get what we need to make that decision.
Anybody else? Christine?
Thank you. Sorry for the technological challenge. Good evening, everyone. Thanks for both reports. I just have a few questions. And my first one, I'll shoot the questions out to both teams, and you all can answer as appropriate. A question I'm getting from the public quite a bit, and I'm not exactly sure if I'm giving them the proper answer. It has to do with whether there will be an expansion at the CMC plant. So some folks in Morro Bay are wondering, I thought it was just an expansion, and some are like, no, it's going to be a whole other plant going to be built. So if you have any insight on that, and so we can give that information to the public.
That's the purpose of the capacity study, to see exactly what's necessary to accommodate both flows from Morro Bay and Cayucas. So at this point, we'd be speculating, but again, that study will determine what is necessary.
Okay, so that's undetermined. And then
there's discretion to use them to provide information that essentially will improve the performance of the plant so that there won't be additional spills. And that's what we're talking about here. Those fines have been imposed historically. I think there's a small fund available to utilize, and there's a limited amount of discretion in using them for a study such as this. And when we all met, including county staff and regional board staff, there was sort of a collective determination that it would be valuable information, even if there weren't a desire to see this plant become a regional plant. So that's sort of the genesis of it. And again, I don't know exactly how much funding we're talking about, but I know there's a desire on regional board staff and from Ken Harris, the executive director, to see that analysis is done for a number of reasons. Amongst them, our desire to see that plant be turned into a regional facility.
Okay, and then if those funds don't come through on the timeline that we're expecting them to, will the city and the district then be required to give funds for some of those initial studies?
No.
Okay.
That would be voluntary.
Okay. Thank you. Anything, Mr. Levick?
Just want to add on to talking about expansion or a new plant there. The goal would be is to use as much of the facility there as possible. So expanding the plant probably wouldn't mean building a duplicative administration building right next to it. You would use those facilities that can be used for both for additional processes and only add what you need to add. So the goal would not to be to duplicate the facility right next door.
Okay, great, thank you. And then just any of you who've been meeting with the county, do you have any signals that you've been receiving? There will be big sea change with Mr. Ogren leaving the county. So have you heard from perhaps the CAO, Mr. Buckshy, about the county's continuing commitment to moving forward and on the pace they were? I know that Mr. Ogren was very enthusiastic. So I'm wondering if you could give us some feedback on where you think the county is on this now.
Mr. Ogren's assigned staff in the interim to act on his behalf. We have a new contact person there to coordinate with. He set it up for success even in his departure so that we can continue to still move forward and we don't have to wait for his permanent replacement to be there. He has a public works staff that are stepping into that role of coordinating the project.
Okay, thanks. And then the final comment is just a thanks for getting that information as quickly as possible about discharge into Choro Creek. That's a key question about the water, and once it leaves any plant at CMC, it's a key question for folks in Morro Bay is whose water is it? So I'll be looking forward particular to that, the responses about that. So that would be all.
In a simple answer, it is the discharger's water.
I saw my notes. He told me that last meeting, too. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll just wait to see who the discharger is. Thank you.
Thanks for that. And Cayucas,
Jay, back over to you. Any other comments from Cayucas? Seeing none.
Public comment?
I'd like to open this to public comment. Seeing none, I'll close public comment. This is another item that requires no action by the board or the city. So we'll go to item C2, review of the budget. Susan?
Thank you. Susan Slayton, Morro Bay Administrative Services Director. Good evening, Mayor Irons and council members, President Enns and board members. The item before you is the 2014-15 proposed budget for the wastewater treatment plant. The recommendation to council and the board is to discuss the budget as desired. Any agreed upon changes are to be approved at each entity's meeting at which their respective budget is adopted, so no adoption occurs at this meeting. I would suggest that if you have any questions, that they be directed to Mr. Keough if you want to have good answers. Thank you.
I think that's called passing the buck. Mr. Keough?
Yeah. I would just like to point out that there are the staff report contains both a spreadsheet outlining the budget as well as pretty detailed budget notes on where that money is allocated and what it's used for. I would like to request that the district board and the city council, as I mentioned in the earlier staff report, we have two big projects that we funded in fiscal year 13-14 that were not completed, and that we requested that $425,000 of the $500,000 for the Headworks screen project be rolled forward into the next $25,000 over to the Headworks influence screening project. That'll allow us to stay on budget for both of those projects, and we're not asking for additional funds. We just want to rebalance where those funds were going. In addition to that, on the front page of the staff report, it gives a grand total of $3,362,734. That number is a combination of the operations budget of $2,111,000 and the capital outlay project for MMRP was $1,221,000, and then Susan has some general fund administration in there to add up to the grand total. Last year we had allocated $30,000 for a pretty extensive electrical evaluation of the main electrical system in the admin building where the utility power feeds in. We did not get to that project. Try as we might, we didn't get there. Subsequent to the development of last year's budget, we had Black & Veatch provide an electrical evaluation of the treatment plant. So they had an electrical engineer come out. They looked at what we had, and they made some recommendations on testing protocol for some of our breakers. So my request is that we would add $50,000 to the operations budget to cover that electrical evaluation project. And with that, I would open it up for questions.
All right. Mayor Irons, do you want to start questions?
Sure. Thanks for the staff report, Bruce and Susan. Thanks very much. Turning it over to the board. Any questions? Christine, Nancy, George, Noah, anything? Any questions at this time? Seeing none, we'll pass it back to Cayucas.
Questions from Cayucas? Thank you. I just had one comment, either Susan or Bruce. On page 3 of your verbal report, item 4910, you've listed as $294,661. In your budget worksheet report, you've listed it at $294,660. And I just made that comment because I wanted you to know I read this thing.
Thank you.
So, aside from that, Bruce, I was curious. You know, we just discussed that we were spending about $1.2 million on the MMRP. And then scattered throughout this budget are a number of maintenance items on the plant. Do we have a concept of what the total of the MMRP and all of these maintenance items are? And they're in different categories here.
I could make an educated guess at that. The projects are going to be spread between line items 5504, machinery and equipment supplies. So you have about $135,000 of supplemental projects. Generally in line items 5504 and 6601, we have historically kind of funded those line items at about $60,000 apiece. That gives plant staff the ability to either have equipment or maintenance needs done by outside contractors, or we have the ability to purchase supplies and do them ourselves. So if you look at in 6601, you have about an additional $35,000 worth of work above the $60,000. And in 5504, you're looking at $195,000. So $135,000 and $35,000 is $170,000. So 1.2 plus the 170 is about 1.37 would be kind of the maintenance projects, if you follow my logic there. The last budget that we did, there was a lot of confusion about what's an MMRP project and what's just normal maintenance. And so after that budget, we sat down with Mr. Sauerwein and Mr. Kuhn, and we kind of devised, you know, is this an operations issue, or is this really kind of a project that's above and beyond what we would normally do? And that's kind of the rationale behind why some of these projects are stuck into the operations budget, and some of them are stuck into the MMRP side of the project. And hopefully that helps.
Okay, I just wanted to recognize that we're spending a lot of money on this plant that we're, I'm assuming, going to demolish at the end of a five-year period, and it disappoints me that we're having to spend this money. I just had one other question, and that was on the last, not quite the, these sheets aren't numbered, but the budget worksheet report under items, let's start with 8721.
We have an accurate total. I don't have, that's actually the amount of the depreciation for those actual years, zero, and that other 30,000, that's a total of the 30,000 above. So the spreadsheet is a mistake.
Okay, but I also didn't understand, if you go back through these other years under capital asset depreciation, you were running 477, 475, 485, and then you go to zero, and I didn't quite understand how that worked.
For the 2014 year, we haven't calculated depreciation, and we won't do that until sometime in September. So it's not as if I have an estimate of what it would be.
Okay, that's because the audit comes later?
Correct.
Okay, very good. That's all the questions I have. Thank you, Susan. Anyone else? Any other questions?
Can you reconcile this to the audit?
I'm sorry, Mr. Foster.
I can't tie any of these numbers to the allocated expenses on the audit.
For the 2013 year?
Oh, Oh, I guess I'm, yeah, I was looking on the 2014 amended budget.
That's our amended budget.
For this year. Okay, the audit's 2013.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, all right, thanks.
Any other questions on the budget? All right, as Susan said, we're not going to take action on this tonight. That'll be done at separate meetings. Is that correct? Anyone for public comment? Seeing none. Susan, did you have something you wanted to say? I'd like to take a short break to show some appreciation to a couple people that helped us. One is Scott Beer has provided us some cookies. I'd hate to disappoint him if we all ran out at the end of the meeting. Come getyourcookies.com, and he's donated those. And Top Dog Coffee, which, of course, we have in Morro Bay and Cayucas, has donated the coffee, the cups, and the creamery. So enjoy here. We'll just take about 5 minutes. Our last item is item C3, our audit. Susan?
Good evening again. Susan Slayton, Morro Bay Administrative Services Director. This item is the presentation of the 2012-2013 audit for the wastewater treatment plant. Our auditor, Bob Crosby, is available to answer any questions you might have, and I'll turn it back to you, and I'll have Mr. Crosby come up.
I hope everybody had a chance to look at the audit. It's a little bit later than I wanted it to be this year. I had a little problem with a swine flu that I got down in Mexico. So watch out when you go to Mexico. Anyway, luckily the cruise ship didn't know about it, and they didn't get in the newspaper. Don't get the swine flu either. That stuff's nasty. So, and we didn't tell anybody around here that I had it either, so you didn't see it in the newspaper. That stuff is... Anyway, the financial statements, you might see some changes, and these are directives that we had to implement in the financial statements. You'll notice that the auditor's opinion, the independent auditor's report, which is the first report after the table of contents, this thing's growing every year that I do audits. I can't believe it. You're up to 2 pages now, almost full 2 pages. It just basically puts more and more disclaimers in there, and the auditor has less and less responsibility, it looks like to me, if you read it. So, and if you guys had a quick read, this is the standard report. It looks ominous, but this is a clean opinion. This is no disclaimers, no adverse opinions. This is the clean opinion. So when you have an adverse, you should see that one. So this... Again, this is we found no problems with the financial statements. The internal controls that we looked at looked good. You're doing what should be done, as a surprise last year. There's one other change that I did not make to the report. I'll disclose that now. GASB 63. Change of terminology, if anybody caught that. We're supposed to, instead of calling it net assets, it's now net position. Now, why that was changed, I don't quite understand, but I could probably give you my editorial on that. So wherever you see net assets, that will be changed to net position in case somebody questions that. That will also be changed in the management discussion and analysis. So... again, that should not have snuck through. I don't know why I didn't let it catch it. So primarily, that's it. Essentially, there's not much change on the whole thing as a whole. So don't know if anybody has any questions.
Anyone have questions of Mr. Cosby?
Anybody to the right from Morro Bay?
I have one question. Maybe it's in regard to Mr. N's comment earlier on reading the report, and that has to do with page 7 on extraordinary item. The number you have there, and then on page 6, having to do with the construction in progress, the numbers don't equate to the same.
That's because there was page 6, was it?
Mm-hmm.
That's because there were more additions. Is that a little bit off, or is that a lot?
$1?
That's a dollar. Oh, my gosh, you caught me. Okay, well, we'll make sure that dollar gets adjusted there. So.
Touché, Mr. Ann.
Thank you.
I'm a buck off.
That's all the questions I have. Any more from this side? Okay. Cayucas?
Right. Cayucas, any questions? Michael? Okay, Bob, could you, on page 1, construction in progress, and you spoke to that item, and I think in 2012 that was...
2012, that had not been adjusted yet because we had done our final auditing or audit date, and the difference was... The treatment plant, the modification was disallowed between when we did our audit and actually when we presented it. I didn't find out until 5 minutes before my presentation last year that the treatment plant had been disallowed. So is that what the question was? Or
yeah, my question is, Cayuga spent some money with... some reports for us, I think, with WSC, and Morro Bay has spent some money looking at some alternatives. Are those items outside of the treatment plant budget, or are they included in here?
Now, when were those? Were those done before June 30th of last year, or was that something that occurred? Because remember, this is dating back to June 30th. So as far as the timeline, these are all the amounts that we saw that were part of the construction in progress.
What, everything was after? Okay. So I just wanted to clarify, those items would be in your city budget but not in the treatment plant budget, and we're doing the same thing here? Okay. So you're...
All right. Again, I like to get this out earlier so the numbers aren't so old.
Okay.
So,
Michael?
Just to clarify, to the $2,235,000, that doesn't include any capitalization of staff salaries. Is that right?
The amount
that has been capitalized for the wastewater treatment plant that went before the Coastal Commission on the existing site.
Right.
That didn't include any capitalization of salaries for Morro Bay or expenses.
That was an accumulation of all the costs that were associated with the construction in progress up to that point.
Right. But so. That was only direct costs, like
right,
for engineering reports, third-party consultants, things like that. That did not include internal
I don't remember
salaries.
If anything was actually allocated, but if something was allocated, it would have been from a direct point of view as far as if it actually pertained directly to the construction in progress for the treatment.
They're usually kept within the plant. I don't remember any salaries that went into this, but again, I'm not looking at the history of the construction in progress to make sure. So I would say I doubt it, but I can't say for sure. No.
Okay, that's my recollection too. So,
and then could you tell us why this is categorized as an extraordinary item?
Because it's not a normal, it doesn't happen day to day, it's very infrequent. There's two items that would dictate if it's an extraordinary item. So this is not a normal situation where you spend this much money and then at a certain point in time the contract gets terminated because of some outside source like the environmentalists. So that's why we put it down there. We don't look at it as being an operating expense. It's something that was from an external situation. It is not, I forgot what the actual terminology is, but there's two items that it's not frequent. It's not something that typically happens.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Seeing none, is there anyone in the public that would like to comment? Seeing none, thank you very much.
Thank you. It was a joy working with you.
Motion would be in order to accept the audit. Cayucas, would you like to lead the way?
Mr. President, it's not set up as an action item.
Not listed as an action item?
No.
Accept doesn't mean accept?
Accept's not in the description. It's just a presentation.
All right. Very good. Then no actions required. Thank you. Item C4, scheduled for the next meeting. Rick, I believe you suggested we needed to have a meeting in July. Next month.
Or let's hold a date until Morro Bay staff and myself get together. So hold a date open for July 10th. And then we'll see if we have any items. We're dealing with some contracts of the MMRP that the timing issue. Morro Bay City Council doesn't have the second meeting. Yours is canceled, so we have to make sure we have agenda items ready to go, whether it's a JPA or the individual first council meeting for the city or the district's meeting in the third Thursday. We'll figure that out. But
all
keep
right,
it open for July 10th. In Morro Bay.
Okay, so we'll keep that date open.
I just have a question on that as far as we have a pretty well thought out schedule for our regular council meetings as far as having the staff reports on a schedule. Is that alluding to how we're doing the same thing with our JPA meetings as well and when the staff reports would be due for Morro Bay?
Yeah, we followed the same kind of protocol where we're generating staff reports a week earlier and then turning them into upper management for review, and then we get them to the appropriate party for copying and distribution.
So, and what's the date on that? It's not important. I was just that's okay, Bruce.
I'm going to say like the 25th of June or something like that off the top of my head.
Okay.
Yeah. I was trying to count backwards.
Thanks.
Anything else?
I don't think so. Anything else from Morro Bay?
Okay. Very good. Then we'll see you in Morro Bay on July 10th, perhaps. With that, we'll adjourn. Thank you very much.
Thank you.